It was a day we had longed for, seemed like our entire lives. It was a much anticipated day, a day that will live in infamy. I can't recall exactly the circumstances that gave rise to this historic occasion, but we were on edge with excitement. It was the day when my parents first left me and my two sisters and my two brothers at home by ourselves, unsupervised by a babysitter. I believe that day there was a small food fight, lots of roughhousing and noise, and this shared sense of glee that we had suddenly been freed by all those burdensome rules that my parents made up that never made any sense to us. It was a glorious, glorious day. Now, ostensibly, as the eldest, I was supposed to be in charge of the other four, but when does that ever really happen? Sorry, parents, it doesn't happen when you leave your kids home alone. But by mutual agreement, we had decided that whatever happened that day would stay between the five of us, and that everybody would help to clean up whatever mess had been made over the course of the hours before our parents' return. Now, I will say certain of us were better at cleaning up than others were. But I will always remember that glorious feeling of freedom that we felt that day, of throwing off the very rules that seemed so silly to us in the first place, and indulging in the very behaviors that my parents were trying so hard to break in us. That was what I thought freedom was about for a long time. But then some years later, I discovered a different kind of freedom, a much more mature and theological notion of freedom that comes from the Apostle Paul. Reading from Galatians 5, the first verse, in the literal word order from the Greek, it says, "For freedom, us Christ has freed." For freedom, us Christ has freed. So as one person writes, that sentence is enveloped in freedom language, and we are with Christ inside of that envelope of freedom. Freedom surrounds us and will continue to shape our lives. And indeed, in his death, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus the Christ has freed us from slavery to sin and given us the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. We live in the freedom of knowing that we are forgiven by the Creator of the universe and that we are the beloved children of the Alpha and the Omega. But Paul proclaims a different kind of freedom for us here in Galatians. He uses, I don't know if you're a grammar nerd like I am, but he uses the passive voice. We have been chosen by God for freedom. We didn't choose it ourselves. We have been freed by Christ from the painful results of a life lived separated from God. We did not achieve this freedom ourselves, but it was done for us. So enveloped in this kind of freedom is a sense of that glee that I had on that day long ago when all of the rules were off. To know that we are forgiven and loved, not for who we are and what we are able to achieve, but because of who God is and what He is able to do through us, that is freedom. That is one of the most empowering truths in this world. We have not been chosen by God for a kind of freedom that allows for self-indulgence and doing whatever we want. We have been chosen for a different kind of freedom. And it has been given to us so that we can mirror God. God has freed us, and God has called us to live in this new kind of freedom, one who mirrors, who reflects who God is, what God's freedom is all about. God is free to love others. And so in our freedom, we are free to love others as well. Our freedom doesn't lead to self-indulgence, which certainly belongs in Paul's lists of works of the flesh in verses 19 through 21. This is a vice that very much colored my earlier version and vision of what freedom is all about. Christ has not freed us from the rules so that now we can do whatever we want. Christ has chosen us for a different kind of freedom, which mirrors God's own freedom. Freedom dedicated to loving and serving others. It's kind of interesting that here in this text from Galatians, Paul quotes a verse from the heart of the Old Testament law in Leviticus in order to prove his point that Christ has freed us from obeying the law. Of all the things, he picks something in the law to say we don't have to follow the law anymore. You see, for Paul, there was no longer any need to follow the law with a capital L. In Christ, the law has been fulfilled. So now in Christ, the only law is love, because love is the fulfillment of the law. Leviticus 19:18 says, "You shall take no vengeance, nor bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The "you" there, "you shall love your neighbor as yourself," is singular, meaning each of you, meaning each and every one of you, love your neighbor, love your particular neighbor. Wherever you are, you love your neighbor. Because now the only law is love, not just in this sort of general be nice to everybody kind of way, but in this very particular and local way, loving your particular neighbor as yourself. This kind of law speaks of God's sharing with us what human being is to be, what human being was created to be, and what kinds of consequences happen when we ignore God's call to freedom. This is a very different kind of freedom than what we're used to. So we're used to the idea of throwing off all the rules and doing whatever it is that we want. But this kind of freedom, being chosen to be a slave, Paul says, to one another in love rather than to be a slave of sin and in self-indulgence. But this freedom, this is God's way of being, and it's a description of a human way of being. In Christ, the only law is love, and it speaks to what being human is all about, a life sweetened by the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, generosity, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what being free is all about, living a life sweetened by the fruit of the Spirit and not a life which has been poisoned by the vices, a life made bitter by self-indulgence, envy, jealousy, idolatry, and things like these. Cultivating a life sweetened by the Spirit, to live in the freedom for which Christ has set us free, is a lifelong project. As the Spirit's sanctifying power works in our hearts, tilling the soil and preparing us to bear good fruit for him. But it's not an easy task, as a lot of you, I'm sure, are aware. It's not an easy task to live this whole "the only law is love" thing. But it is a task that we will take on for the rest of the summer here at Second Pres in worship, as we kind of peel back the fruit of the Spirit and learn what a life characterized by a different kind of freedom really looks like. In this letter, Paul tells the Galatians, and he tells us too as we sort of eavesdrop in on his letter, that we belong to Christ, that he loves us, forgives us, and has called us his own. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires for self-indulgence. That has been crucified within us, and we have been freed to live a life of service to others. We no longer live by the works of the flesh because they have been crucified with Christ. Instead, we are to live in this different, new kind of freedom, to live by the Spirit, freely serving others. We have died to the flesh and can now embrace a new way of living where the only law is love. And this new way of living with new standards and new values and new ways of being human and living through a new power, the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what the life of freedom is all about. For freedom, Christ has set us free. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.